Funkus. A-List 4Far looking like her A-List video, very hip-hop today. Blake Murphy, Bedhead, very punk rock.
And you're just perfect.
You guys look like you showed up to the the Civic Center. You're going to have a little battle off who gets
right.
to have their show. Yeah.
It's cold in my apartment,
High School Musical.
So I got the hoodie up.
Yeah. Oh. Is it cold? Yeah. Okay. Can I do a confession? Sometimes during this, one of the only things I really don't like about work from home, and I listen, work from home is great. I feel very lucky to have it. But is that sometimes with these hours, we'll do the show, I'll do a couple of other things around the apartment, have a nap, have a workout, and all of a sudden games start, and I realize I haven't left the apartment for the entire day. I don't even get out for a walk. I don't even do anything.
You're not alone on that one.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Is that for our group? But then you get that text from your friends where they go, "It's freezing out," or "What a beautiful day," and you go, "Oh yeah, so beautiful/cold." I feel like I could have got pranked at least twice a week, where it's like there's those two times a week where I just don't even make it out.
Yep.
It's also winter.
Hell yeah.
Okay, all right. Hilch is on the team. Okay, that's good. Blake, I make sure I get outside everyday person no matter what without fail?
Not without fail, but for the most part, yeah. It's mental health-wise, I cannot stay in my apartment. I don't know, man. We're 2 years into being isolated. I got to at least get fresh air.
But normally I try to do that. It's just that with this schedule, you go, oh, whoopsies, whole day's gone by. All of a sudden I'm watching The Kraken. It's 9 o'clock. I'm watching the old expansion team.
Yeah. I find having one little thing that forces you out of the house every day is good. So part of the strategy, and this is a risky strategy because you end up just ordering food a lot, is don't get a lot of groceries at once. That way, you know, two, three times a week, you got to go out and get groceries. Or, you know, today's my double show day, so I'll at least have to walk to the studio today and see if there's, you know, chips or other swag in there that I can steal
chips
before Ailish gets her grubby little paws on it.
You know what, yourself though? Here. It is nice going into the studio during the daytime when there's people there and there's a little bit of an energy around it because the radio shows at least are showing up. For our show, there was never that thing, right? I've expressed this to people before.
Yeah.
Well, not only is it just us, it's like we're there hours before even people are there to clean, right? You see a janitor in the morning, they're like, oh, sorry. I'm just a radio host who's here. I'm not an invader. I'm not a criminal who's in here trying to rob the place. But when you see people, they're just getting into work in the morning. So when we're already up and at them and have energy, they're half asleep, just trying to ease into their day. And then all of a sudden, loud JD is around. Did you see the Raptors game last night? Ugh. You know, stay away from me. I don't want anything to do with this. We can't sync up even with the people who do show up by 9 o'clock in the morning.
But that's when I would come in the office and bust open the door and go, bang, bong.
Yeah, but I loved that. Blake hated that.
Shut up. Be quiet. It's 5 a.m.
No one ever
told you to shut up or be quiet.
I did. I do sometimes. I read between the lines. No, I'll say shut up to you. If I feel as well. You did love to say bing bong as you came into the room. Bing bong, it's starting to fade. Do you feel it's starting to fade?
It's starting to fade.
You threw that out yesterday as your Valentine, and I thought, we should do a little better, you know?
I had the one where you're on my A-list. I thought that was good.
Yeah, everyone's were self-deprecating or shots, except for yours, though, I noticed.
I'm the creator, so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, you created the narrative. So let's create the narrative from yesterday's Leafs game. They win, but they don't control the play. They're elite on special teams. Sheldon Keefe in the postgame says that's what they were. They were elite on special teams.
Second best power play percentage ever.
Yeah, it's
in the NHL.
It's so stupid that a year ago they could not score on the power play. Mitch Marner went his entire career, essentially, no power play goals. They're in the North Division against crummy goaltenders, against awful defensive teams. The Ottawa Senators, the Montreal Canadiens, doesn't matter. The big bad North Division foes were the Edmonton Oilers, who can't get a stop. And Mitch Marner couldn't score on a power play. The Leafs couldn't convert a power play. And this year it's amazing. But this is a weird feeling I have right now, and I mentioned it a little bit to you guys as we were coming in just before we started the show, which is I find myself nitpicking the wins and being kind of defensive of the Leafs in losses. And you know I've always been a process over results guy for the Leafs during the regular season, as long as there are a lot of results, to which there, of course, have been many, many, many. But last night, I would say, was one of their worst games. They were just sloppy. I was looking at the turnovers. The Leafs were just coughing up the puck constantly in this game. And they did a pretty good job of blocking shots and not letting clean looks at the net, but 14 giveaways. Seattle only had 6. That's an expansion team. Like, they didn't have any offensive zone time, really. This was all power play stuff. Seattle was in the offensive zone the entire night. I thought, again, Justin Hall was terrible. He and Jake Muzzin just can't even cycle it behind their own net. Just bad mistakes, and they were really bailed out by star power, which is a good thing to have in the NHL, and it's lucky that they had it, but I don't really know what to take away from a game like that other than you have the better players and that worked out for you from a shooting percentage standpoint. Like, what's the opposite of getting goalied? That's what you guys just did.
So
get Grubauer'd.
Yeah.
Wasn't it yesterday that you said you can't remember many times that the Leafs won a game that they didn't deserve to?
Yeah.
I feel like that was an example exactly of that. You know, they had way better offensive players. They were fortunate to get a lot of opportunities to put the puck in the net against a weaker team. But when you looked at the advanced stats, and they kept putting that up on the broadcast, like just zone time, shots blocked, and they were losing in most of those categories. We used to call those KPIs. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but
key performance indicators.
So we used to call them that. We'd have like 6 KPIs every game that would determine if we deserve to win the game or not. And I think last night it would have been 0-6. You know, Seattle would have won in all those key performance indicators. And sometimes that happens and you're lucky to win the game. But I feel like the Leafs haven't had that type of luck lately. So maybe that's just a little bit of a good bounce because they had been overplaying teams like on the past weekend with the 2 back-to-back losses where we were like, hey, you know, they kind of got goalied. But last night was the opposite of that, which is sometimes nice to see, but definitely something you can't rely on happening often.
Yeah, and so some of that is, you know, there's regression there. Some of it is for I and it seems like nobody understands what happened to Grubauer to turn him from like the guy who led the league in shutouts last year. And
I'll tell you what happened to him. He just sucks. That's what happened to him. He sucks.
But like he really didn't for a long time.
Yeah, but that's just man. You know, he signed till 2027.
He's so bad.
2027. He's there forever.
Percentage on the that's it. He's gonna be there long after Oklahoma City steals that team. It's
oh, Blake, I'm going to break your face for that.
It's bad. So the Leafs get up 3-1, and the possession stats and all the stuff, all the KPIs you just mentioned, Ailish, they just keep tilting further and further Seattle's way, other than the special teams, which, like, maybe getting up 3-1 is, like, and then 4-1 midway through the second, like, maybe their foot was just off the gas. Like, maybe that's the kind of Occam's razor here. They were beating a bad team, so they didn't play particularly
Occam's
hard.
Razor? It's another new one.
Is true.
Yeah, The simplest explanation is the one you're looking for, and it's that they were up big on a bad team and packed it up, went home, which, you know, is fine. It's understandable. That's the benefit you get as a really good team and for getting a lead early. But, yeah, I mean, possession stat-wise, game flow-wise, like, this, if you had turned this on and the score bug wasn't on, you would certainly not have guessed it was a 6-2 Leafs win.
So I mentioned I'm nitpicky where I go, that game sucked and all the KPIs, not good for them. But I also looked at that one and said, you're at the end of a road trip. You go into a Seattle arena that has a pretty weird energy. I don't know if it was because Grubauer let in those horrible goals early and those fans are used to that, but My friend Rick was at this game, and he sent me some photos and some pictures, and I'm like, what's the atmosphere like, and what's it going? It just seemed like a pretty weird building, and Seattle's got those. I'm sorry, Those jerseys, they didn't pan out quite the way that I think that they were supposed to. They look like I mentioned, I tweeted yesterday that they reminded me of Team Europe at the 2016 World Championships, where it's just like very, we're not supposed to even be here. You know, this is just, I don't love it. And the Leafs just ended up having a game where everything they put on net was going in. They're playing crappy goaltender. They're playing a crappy team. And they had a bit of a sleepy performance. You're not going to have it every single night. One of the weird things about doing this job, especially in the morning, where you just have to come up and go, okay, the story of the game, the story of the thing is, sometimes that just happens over the course of an 82-game season. I think to a degree, some of it happened with the Raptors last night, where, hey, you just didn't have it tonight. You just didn't have it. And fortunately for you, you're extremely talented, so you got away with some stuff. And the other goalies plural, I guess, because that last goal, even though it was irrelevant timing-wise, that Driedger let in, they were horrific, right? Like, it was a horrific game. So if there's one player I would say that we can kind of take things away from yesterday, well, I have two, but I'm going to start with the first one, just ask you guys. What did you think of Jack Campbell? Because he let in the one soft goal. He wasn't tested too often. He did come up with some, like, pretty solid saves. Is this just kind of an incomplete for you? Can you grade this one? Like, how do you feel about it? Ailish.
Yeah. You know what? I was definitely, that was kind of the biggest thing I needed to take out of this. Him and how, like, Jake Muzzin looked if he came back. And I think I was happy with Jack's performance. There's nothing, he didn't do anything out of the norm. I think he made a couple bigger saves, to keep them in it, but that's what you needed. We talked about how he needs to get a win under his belt. He needs to start, you know, maintaining some confidence level, and that's exactly that. I don't think there was anything that, you know, necessary. Maybe the 1 week goal,
happens. The McCann goal,
the McCann goal was pretty weak.
If that happens in the playoffs, people are killing
for sure.
For it.
I would also say I feel like the team had kind of let off the gas at that point, so some that is either like, hey, come up and make that big save and keep and give yourself that confidence boost. He didn't do that, but yeah, I'm happy with it. I give it a solid like B plus. Like, you know, nothing that I was like, oh my god, that was like such a good Jack game. Like, he propelled that team to victory, but at the same time, he made the saves when he needed to.
Kamios, I think that just letting in less than three goals was important.
Huge. Like, yeah, it's been a while since he did that.
But who cares? You let in less than three goals, Jack. Good job. We've been really looking for that. Break up that stat. Don't have the broadcast constantly throwing up how many times you've let in three or more. Yeah. You got the one game with, like, under three. Great. Good job. Now roll that momentum into the next game. That's the way I'm looking at this. A little bit anyways of just... It's just visually, even if you did let in the bad goal, even if maybe he didn't feel terrific about that one, I'm sure Jack has had his head-hanging moments because he's that guy. But yes, just breaking up that number three I thought was important for him. Mm-hmm. And I really do. I really believe that players and especially pro athletes are very aware of the numbers as much as they pretend that they never are when they talk to the media. That, what? I have how many goals? I average what a points a game? I have this what? They all know. I bet you he knows the number three was a key number for him.
Yeah, and look, that's two games out of the last three now, and they're against garbage teams in the Kraken and the Devils. But
I can't even count that Devils game. But yes,
I know. But I'm just saying, you want to talk about the number three?
I can't believe they lost
it twice in the last three. Yeah, and I think, you know, the 25 shots on end, 23 saves undersells what his night was like a little bit. Like, we know that shots on net aren't the only thing to look at for good. Like, Corsi was invented to measure goalie workload. And so, you know, 59 shot attempts is maybe a better indicator. 25 scoring chances for the Kraken last night. Again, those weren't necessarily high danger chances, especially when you control for who they were. But, you know, he got back on the right side of that. Hey, did you allow fewer goals than you would have expected? I don't know. It's that's about all you could have built from that game if you're Jack Campbell, if you're the Leafs looking at Jack Campbell. So yeah, take it and try to move it forward.
I will say I was not too upset when he let in the Jared McCann goal, because of course McCann revenge game loaded up in the betting app, boom, cash that one.
Did you mention that on Wake and Rake though?
Nope, I didn't.
Oh, so you just kept it to yourself, huh? You greedy little goblin?
Did I forget that Jared McCann had his 7-second stint with the Leafs? And yes, I did. We didn't really talk much about setting up the Leafs game yesterday. And then when I got off the show, It was like, you know, Super Bowl heavy. I was like, okay, your Leafs are playing a Kraken tonight. Oh, yeah, that Jared McCann guy.
Did you bet Alex Kerfoot?
No, I didn't. I should have.
Getting snubbed by them?
I totally should have.
Remember in the summer there was that video of the fish?
Oh, my God,
at the market? And they went, take Alex Kerfoot. And everyone goes, oh, they're taking Kerfoot. They're taking Kerfoot.
That was amazing.
Everybody reported that it was Kerfoot. Wrong.
Because of the
absolutely
fish.
Wrong. Oh, they couldn't possibly record multiple takes of something. I remember even there were conspiracy people going, and I was down there the whole time. I saw the whole thing, and no one ever said Jared McCann's name. God, that's so bad. We really did take internet reporting very, very seriously that week. So, yeah, not the best game to judge Jack Campbell, but again, breaking up that score, that's a decent job. Weird night, weird, awful night. Last thing for me anyways from that game is, and I think I'm going to do a take it or leave it on this today, on Marner. But this is just very simple. He can't do anything to change how he's viewed in this market until the playoffs. That's very clear. But part of me does just kind of almost want to give a PSA to people of, I know some of you are just can't stand Mitch. It just is what it is. I know from talking to my friends who are Leaf fans, Marner still has not recovered from an image standpoint in this market. And that there's just nothing he can do right now to do that. He could score all the goals. It almost makes people more frustrated right now that he was so unable to do that in the playoffs and fearful that he won't show this when it comes time to do it again. All I will say is this guy is clearly in his prime, and he is incredible. Like, that was – that play he made last night, that's something that you see in what? What level of hockey is that? Junior hockey at the
– Yeah, junior – like, you know, you're having fun with your friends and
right.
You rented ice on New Year's Eve and you're playing shinny.
That's insane confidence from him. Just, I'm having fun, look how talented I am confidence. He is absolutely in his prime. He's so fun to watch right now. And yet everybody hates his guts still. And I'm sorry, I know that people hate that or don't like hearing that kind of extreme take of hate him, but it's true. People hate his guts. People really hate him. And they have not forgiven him because he's scoring in the regular season. And it doesn't matter if he's like, what, 11 goals, 11 assists in his last 11 games, or if he's the leading goal scorer since he came back and all this different stuff. All the healing that I thought might be happening with Marner has not happened anyways from my vantage point. It doesn't feel like anything has changed from an image standpoint, other than people are acknowledging that he's playing amazing, but it's undercut by the stuff I said. But yes, he's just in his prime. He's got the joy. He's having fun. And I hope people can at least just try and put some of their bias and feelings aside and just enjoy an elite player playing at his very best.
What did you take of, like, which side of the argument would you be on after the panel in between intermissions had Elliot saying that he is ready to be embraced by this market and that people really want to give him that love and respect? And then he had Stewie saying that he's still underrated and still, like, needs to, you know, needs to find love. I feel like it's almost both at the same time. I don't,
yes, it is.
It was
but
tough.
That's it. He's a polarizing guy, Marner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that there is one side of the Mitch Marner discussion. So I think that there are people, especially, I thought the way Elliot was framing it was more the organization is like, hey, we really want this guy to succeed.
Stewie was more of like the social media people.
Well, just fans in general, not even social, just I'm talking about real life human beings, you know? Mm-hmm. Social media is really hard to suss out because the accounts that all end up having some level of a following are the ones that go hyper positive, and they all we know this, right? It's between 1,000 and 3,000 Twitter followers who end up having names of the players in their bios or name of the team in their bio, right? And that's just what it is. It's Raptors and Leafs. And there's a bit of a community. They all kind of pride themselves on being the protectors of the social media narrative. And usually that skews positive. Usually that skews positive. Then there's the odd whipping boy that whipping narrative that each fan base has, right? That's generally the consensus rule. I'm talking about just, you go out to a sports bar now and you talk to somebody about Mitch Marner. You talk to your friends about Mitch Marner, whatever. if they're diehard Leaf fans that are at least – it probably is a bit age-dependent too. But if you're a diehard Leafs fan, I think 30 and up, 28 and up, you haven't forgiven Mitch Marner. You're pretty pissed off at Mitch Marner. You're still upset that he held this organization's feet to the fire in the contract negotiations despite being a local guy. I think you're upset about the playoff performances, some of the ways that he's presented himself to the media, and the fact that he's racking up points in regular season games is, like I said, to a degree infuriating, because that is the player that everyone has been expecting but hasn't shown up now in three playoff series in a row. Like, it's not just one playoff series. It's three in a row. And I'm counting Columbus. Yes, we have to at this point. But yeah, I think he's doing a lot right now to have people at least say, oh man, you have to tip the cap to what he's doing right now. But to me, it's not he's going to get people on his side, or he doesn't have people on his side through regular season play.
I think what this is helpful for probably internally is like, look, you can point to, and he doesn't need more regular season sample to be like, hey, look, man, you're good. But this is a stretch where he has been the best player on the team, and
he's been the best player in hockey.
Yeah, like, and if not number one, like top five for sure. And you can point to, like, this isn't a 2 or 3 game blip now. This is like a month of him being at that level. So I do, you know, I don't know Mitch Marner personally. I don't know what the psychological side is. You know, he's still only 24, but maybe if he has a bad game, this is the kind of stretch that you can point to and be like, look, man, you could steer out of this. Yeah. It's no problem at all. Like, look at what you did.
I would suggest Kyle Dubas not call him into his office and
with
say,
Amazon
hey,
videos
we believe
rolling.
In you. And he goes, yeah. Do you have to talk about anything?
I do wonder, seven. like Jesus, the I believe Kyle, in you side you is that? Like, I get why you do that to an extent, but like, I think the bigger play here is like more of a, like, hey man, like, look at what you did. Don't coddle him. Tell him like, you're the guy. Like, look at this. Look at what you did to these other teams for a month. Like, that would be my approach more than the coddling, like, oh, Mitch, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We still believe in you. I'd be like, no, Mitch, you dominated the league for like a month. Just do that. You can do that.
So the hope is that he breaks through. The hope is that he does this. I'm enjoying his play right now. I will admit that as somebody who wasn't sure he would be able to overcome this past offseason, who thought, hey, this is going to be a lot, because any time you slump, it's going to be people that hammer you, right? People who say trade you, people who say they don't want you here. I guess the counter move to that is just don't have any more slumps this year. And not only don't slump, play your best hockey ever. And it becomes pretty undeniable at some point. Anyways, just enjoy what Mitch Marner is doing right now. I'm ready to move off. Leafs, when do they play again on Thursday, right? That's the next game?
Yeah, against the Penguins, so, which we can have 50% capacity here in Toronto.
Yay.
It would be so nice if our bosses respected how much hard work we've been putting into the show and knew that it'd be so great for us for team building. So just send us to the game for the three of us to see each other in real life.
It would be, but they're probably oblivious to that. You know, they just don't think about all the work we put in. Don't really respect it properly. Don't really reward it properly. Yep. Just let us grind away. Just, you know, go there. Lay
not
bricks.
See the daylight,
nope,
become vampires.
Just grind away for them, you know, just work, never any reward. Just that's fine, bosses, we get it.
Careful, guys, because what they're going to do is they're not going to come through with tickets. They're going to come through with press passes.
I would take a press pass at this point.
How many times have you gone to a hockey game with a press pass? It's not an enjoyable experience. Like, oh, wow, what a fun time. Press passes
times,
is
sadly.
Not going to any game. Press passes is just, oh, hey, do you want to not drink and stand with all the nerdy reporters and who stare at their laptops the whole game? I'll never understand how.
That's where Blake thrives, though.
I know, but I don't even understand.
No, not for hockey. I want a beer. if I'm watching a hockey game.
I want it for all sports. I hate being in the media area. It's fine, but in terms of watching the game, I like to socialize and chat during a game, and everyone's just on their laptops, click, 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 tweet.
Corsi.
I don't even know how the reporters do it. I got to say, tip the cap. The ability to tweet constantly, like if you follow someone who tweets 25 times a game and is actually watching the sport, I have no idea how they do that. So, and there's people who are preparing, like Blake, their game notes where the story at the end of the night. It's incredible.
I don't write during the game. I take notes, but that's like time annotations if I need to go back and watch something or like play calls, stuff like that.
Even still, it is a feat.
And then the Twitter thing is like you tweet at breaks and play if you need to.
Yeah. I've seen others not tweeting at breaks and play and still finding ways to watch the game pretty well. Okay, so you know what time it is, Ailish?
Yes, it is time to talk about the Canadian Olympic athletes in Beijing. The Road to the Podium presented by CertainTeed. It's time for the Road to the Podium brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. Also, it's Text Line Tuesday. We have not even mentioned it, guys. Text Line Tuesday. Yesterday, we were talking about Valentine's Day, so we will recircle that conversation if you have good, funny, traumatic, depressing, hysterical Valentine's Day stories ever in your life.
I got a couple DMs. But I would really like more. I would really like more funny Valentine's Day stories from the listeners today. Anything. I don't even care if you think that it might suck. But yes, I want to hear about how people's Valentine's Days went. Whether the show helped you, and lots of helpful tips from old JD. Any helpful tips from Ailish and Blake? Any inspiration for yesterday? And then, if in the past you've had some awkward ones, you know what? Even if you've had a good one, you can tell me, but I'll probably just make fun of it. So
I saw some of the athletes in Beijing. They were getting roses from the organizers, so at least they got to celebrate some of their Valentine's Day afar. But today, Tuesday, there are three games I'm going to highlight for you listeners today. Since it is 6:30 in the morning, you can catch two of them if you're listening live and one of them this evening. First up is men's curling, Canada versus ROC. That's at 7 a.m. And then men's hockey, Canada versus China at 8 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Blake, you want to let me know what it's like if you parlay those two and what the betting odds are?
Well, give me a heads up.
Yeah, that was your heads up. You have 28 minutes.
Canada's women, probably minus 10, like a million against China.
Yes,
like,
they're
I don't know what
minus
they're, what
a million
mean?
Against China.
You want them on their spread?
Probably on the spread.
Probably.
Which was minus 4.5, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's still, I'll take Canada there. Minus 4.5 against China? They're going to do that. You guys can't beat China by 4.5 goals. You can't come back from China.
Yeah, you were done with men's hockey, though. You're gonna walk back into the fire, huh?
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you guys can't beat China by 4.5 goals, don't come home. Like, no offense, but don't come home. Only send Owen Power back, you know, like, and McTavish, because they have futures. So, but the rest of you guys, stay at the KHL. You're Russian now, you know. You guys get to live in Kazakhstan, whatever. I heard it's a nice country. You can stay somewhere over there. Pasquale, we've already revoked your passport.
Yeah,
so.
You don't like that guy anymore.
Oh, that's done. You're dead to me already. You can't lose to the States. You can't give them Miracle on Ice and then have me, like, keep your passport open. No. That's done.
Canada minus 4.5 against China, and Canada over ROC in men's curling. Mm-hmm. If you put them together, it's only plus 109.
Yeah.
If you instead went Canada minus 2.5 in the curling, you could get the plus 213. Mm-hmm. That's a heavy, heavy favorite in on both sides. So you got to give up something. You got to give up the juice, or you got to give up the spread.
Minus 500 is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Blake gave us that tip earlier, though, of, hey, if you're going to bet curling, you got to bet the spread. So, Blake, you doing that? They're going to beat Russia by three?
The big one was if you get a minus 1.5 line, because like something like 75-80% of all games finish by 2 points or more. But the spread in that one's 2.5. It's a little bigger. Gushu's guys have been a little better of late, but not completely in the clear from, you know, rough ends, and they had a tough time yesterday with
I'm not
China,
throwing any curling minus 500 in. This is something I raised this point with Coolbet Chris yesterday, because I was messaging him about how the books with Canada stuff, are so vicious because they have to protect themselves, right? But you can't get a good price. Like Team Canada against the women's team, like the women's hockey game, Team Canada's -200
in
favorites.
In a gold medal game. There's
That's
no
absurd.
Way. They literally should be a toss-up, honestly.
Of course.
Anything can happen. I cannot believe it's -200. I was shocked.
It should literally be the heads or tails coin toss. Both teams +100.
And 50, maybe give 50. Canada a bit of an edge because they beat them in the round robin. But technically, that game, like, I don't think Canada really deserved to win that game for most of the game. So I was shocked that it was -200. I will
you
not be betting.
Can't. You absolutely cannot bet USA, or sorry, Canada at -200.
But JD was thinking of maybe betting USA because he's not a patriot and he hates Canada.
True. That's not true. I would never, ever, ever do that.
I have the receipts. I have the screenshots. I will put you on blast.
Do it. Try. First of all, you are not the vibes coordinator. You are the vibes terrorist of the show. There's no like that has never been more certain after yesterday again of taking shots at Blake and I while going, "You bing bong my heart dee boo boo bee." No, yeah, vibes bad. Two, I would never actually be able to pull the trigger. I can't do the happiness hedge. That's basically the long-standing track record with me is I always talk a big game about trying to do the happiness hedge.
But when it comes
hedge,
down to it, you can't.
Can't do
all
it.
Right.
Can't pull
Glad
the trigger on it. Can't win the blood money. I've never been able to do it. I can't even do a normal hedge. I'm so bad at just doing even normal hedging when I know it's the play. I can't do it. Even my brother, he had a huge Bengals to win the Super Bowl ticket that he bet at the beginning of the playoffs, and he couldn't hedge. A family thing. He could not hedge.
It's in your DNA.
It's in the DNA.
Okay, so if you're able to catch those two Canadian games this morning, if not, women's curling is also back in action tonight against the United States at 8 p.m. So a big, heavy curling day for Canada and a men's hockey game sprinkled in there. And we just got a text on the text line from Chad from Peterborough that says, Canada will clinch a semifinal berth with a win today. -2.5 is a good bet this morning. I feel like Chad from Peterborough just seems like he knows curling, so I'm kind of in on that.
Yeah.
If you live in Peterborough, you're probably part of a curling club, too. You know?
My mom messaged me yesterday saying she needs to curl more. She's upset with her curling game right now.
Oh.
And so she's looking to join a second rink or at least get out twice a week.
She's putting
once
that work
a week
in.
Is not enough. She is. She's just speaking of grinders.
Like, she's a grinder.
She wants to grind. She was a gym teacher. She can't be just mediocre at curling. She wants to dominate. So
I
good
like
luck
her.
To you. Good luck.
I feel the vibes.
So to Chad's point, Canada, the men's team, has covered a 2.5 spread in 3 of their 5 wins,
okay,
which isn't terrible. And when ROC has lost, they took a 12-5 loss and a 6-3 loss. They've covered that spread a couple times, but not against very good teams. Like the only close losses they had were actually they played a undefeated Sweden team tight, but. That's about their only standout performance. So,
okay. I feel more confident about the men's hockey, but I will ride just for a morning ride of, hey,
a morning
let's
ride.
Try
I like that.
Yeah, a morning ride of just, you know, try to get this done. Okay, so that I like the Olympics, ladies. Is there anything that I get to watch later tonight? The women's curling, right? Canada, USA?
Women's curling, yes. That's basically today. Actually, while we were sleeping, we missed some really amazing Canada won. I think it's the team speed skating, which was cool, which was great. A couple medals while we were sleeping. But tonight, other than the curling, there's also, bobsled's on while we're on the air, but I don't think Canada's in that. I'm just pulling up the schedule. There's men's slope style at 8:30 p.m., which is a medal final that was rescheduled. And we have Max Moffitt, who's second in the start list, so going for a gold medal in that one. And then, sorry, you put me on the spot.
Oh, that's okay. Upcoming. We got it. We got it. There's other
men's
things.
Men's slope style, Canada could win a medal tonight at 8:30 p.m.
Okay.
And then there's reseeding the men's quarterfinal hockey action after today's games. Looks like Canada will be playing, obviously, in that tournament, continuing on because they clinched, but not sure exactly who they'll be playing yet. So stay tuned.
The Road to the Podium has been brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's do the A-List. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, A-List 4-5, Blake Murphy, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Text Line Tuesday. It's your day to have your texts read out on the airwaves, reaching all of North America, maybe even the world. So choose wisely. Here's one. Before we get into the A-List, we talked about post-Valentine's Day, what, you know, maybe you have good stories, maybe you have bad stories, maybe you have hacks for the fellas on the show. Here's Sean in Hamilton, who says, I don't know, maybe there's like a, oh, by the way, you got to do this, my girl loves chocolate covered strawberries. I don't
know. Wow, what a hack. I what's a hack that would be?
Well, I'll let you know if somebody texts in a hack, because
I do on Valentine's, I buy chocolates is what I go for.
Sean in Hamilton just texted in. I believe JD said he had an anniversary fall on Valentine's Day. My girl and I celebrate ours on February 13th. We hit a sports bar pre-Super Bowl for food, drinks, and shot some pool with some hardcore locals here in Hamilton. The whole thing completely cancels out Valentine's Day every year. Not even a corny social media post is required. Winning. I think that's just
good
fortune that you also have the day before, and you just kind of combine it into one day of celebration. I like that,
Sean. The good fortune is that you obviously have an amazing ride or die that is so
she
down.
She sounds really
for,
cool.
That's what I mean.
I want to be your friend.
Yeah. So here's what I will say, though. At what point – so tradition is always good, right? So tradition is always great. And you got to have the traditions, and you got to be able to enjoy the traditions. What I will say to this guy – what was his name again?
That was Sean in Hamilton.
Sean in Hamilton. I'm also a big believer, you know, JD's romance corner over here, right? JD's romance corner.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in the surprise breakup of tradition. Because if there's one thing...
I thought you were going to say surprise breakup. I was like,
No, listen. That guy's clearly doing as best as he can ever do, right? You're not finding another girl who's down for shots at the bar for your anniversary every time, okay, buddy?
No, so shot some down. Pool. There shots was no shots.
Shots pool. Oh, there's...
Shot some pool.
Oh, shot some pool? Oh, I thought they were shots.
They might have had shots, but he said shot some pool.
Okay, yeah. All right, listen.
Also cool. way cooler.
You're not finding double shooting some pool, okay? You've done your best. You've done your best. Congratulations on achieving your best. We should all be striving for what you have. However, big move. Every once in a while, you got to break that sucker up with, hey, this is the tradition, but there's the extra special treats on top. I don't know. I'm not going to say exactly what that is to break it up, but maybe one of these days... It's a trip, and you go play pool in some bar somewhere else, you know? Even if it's not that crazy, even if you're on a budget, you know? There's other pool
Drumbo.
Bars. You go to Drumbo. I would say
there's
Drumbo would be very low on my list, very low. But I'm just saying, a little bit of a, oh, what? You were expecting the tradition? You were expecting this today? Surprise, something completely different? Just saying, little tip, if you want to keep that ride or die, you don't want to blow it. You don't have to be in the pool bars looking, you know, around for somebody new. Might want to mix that one in every once in a while. Tradition's good, but don't get it too flat or else okay. The tradition will die.
JD's Romance Corner.
That's right.
Brought to you by Love.
CertainTeed.
CertainTeed. It's CertainTeed to bring you success on Valentine's Day. Speaking of traditions, here's one that people are trying to change. Let's get into the A-List.
Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right. The news on this is a few days outdated. I could not find the updated version of it. Still, nonetheless, a very interesting proposal. There's a petition to move Super Bowls to Saturday night, and it had over 130,000 signatures. The petition cites a study that 40% of people would rather work President's Day, MLK Day, or Columbus Day then the Monday after the Super Bowl. And so they're petitioning to move the Super Bowl to Saturday nights so that people aren't showing up super hungover on Mondays. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I could not be more against. If you want Super Bowl, it's called Super Bowl Sunday. You're going to, it's the number one televised event on earth, and you want to try to move it. You want to think that you're 100,000. Do you know how many people watch the Super Bowl? The idea that you 100,000 people wrote a signature and it, like, going to take that office.
It's currently at 131,331.
We have 100,000 signatures to ruin everyone's Saturday night. No, that's the whole point of Super Bowl Sunday, is that you get to show up to work hungover on a Monday. You get to be a little tired. The collective has a bit of suffering. We do this every year. It's become so cheeseball. You want to talk about traditions? The tradition of should we get a holiday on the Monday is the cheapest pop that you can get as any politician who wants to get into the news every single year. I think we should have a holiday on the Monday. Cheap, cheap pop, never going to happen. And two is this belief that we should be allowed to just get drunk and not have to do stuff because there's a football game on. I love the Super Bowl, but just go in with your dirty guts full of terrible apps every single day and your beer and go to work. It is what it is. The Super Bowl doesn't even end at like an aggressively horrific time, right? You go, you have mm-hmm. your drinks. By the time it's 9:00, 9:30, you can stop. You can be responsible. I don't know. I'm all for a party. And if you're young, you should be able to bounce back from it anyways. It should be irrelevant to you. What do you do? You're under 25 years old. What job do you have that's of any significance? Right?
Okay. Like, I'm sure there's some people that think they have a significant job at 25.
Maybe here. Most people under 25 are still doing their college job, okay? Like, you're still waiting. Like, you're not doing
anything serious.
Essential
workers, JD, bagging those bags
please,
at the
Sobeys. Please. Yeah, exactly. You can be hungover and do that. I also had those jobs. I was hungover all the time. You can do it. You can make it work.
Blake, do you have something on this? I saw your hand.
This is what sick days and personal days and vacation days are for. You don't want to work the Monday after the Super Bowl? Don't.
Facts.
There are like multiple options for you to not work that day. Get out of here.
Tanner from Waterloo texts in, grow a pair, people. Get drunk, be hungover, go to work, put on those big boy / girl pants. Welcome to adulthood. Way
Tanner,
to go, Tanner
is usually like a soft guy name too, so I'm shocked that this is coming from Tanner. Tanner
I didn't
is
know
like
where he ranked on the tough guy names.
Oh, Tanner is like hey Tanner, what sport do you play? Swimming. You're like, oh,
that's
mean. Yeah, it's like, no, swimming. I'm just saying. So Tanner. Yeah,
but not this Tanner. This Tanner is still hungover from Sunday.
Yeah, this Tanner's out there. Yeah, that's what Grindr. He's a show grinder. Yeah. All right, what's next?
Okay, so another thing that might be changing post Super Bowl, the LA Rams have come into an agreement with Hollywood to change the Hollywood sign to not read Hollywood, but change to Rams House. After the Rams Super Bowl win on Sunday for...
Ailish, what is your A-list today? What is this story? Where did you get this?
From the news, okay?
What news site had this?
Don't
They're
worry
gonna
about it.
They're going to change the Hollywood sign to
they
Rams
are.
House?
This isn't fake. This is a real thing.
Yeah, it's from
thing.
The LA Times. Like, it's a real thing.
You want to fight about it?
Yeah, this is horrific. You know
They're
what?
They're going to change the iconic Hollywood sign to say Rams House for... I don't know, a week or so during the Super Bowl win. I thought it was shocking.
Here's my main issue with this is the whole idea is supposed to be whose house, Rams house. That's a Run DMC thing, and they're from New York.
Okay.
I don't know
add
that
to this.
One.
The thing that every single Rams fan or person that has been to that stadium, do you know what they complain about? The Rams house guy. And to me, this is him or the city thinking, oh, it's because it's fun. You guys like hearing this guy say Rams House the entire game way too loud over the speakers. No, everybody hates it. So now all you've done is embolden this guy. He thinks that Rams house is fun. The only reason that you don't want to go to SoFi Stadium is because you're going to have your ears bleed from whose house Rams house guy all game long as he tries to create some kind of a fan atmosphere in that building, like people care about that team when they don't. All-time fraud team. And I know I got some guys in my mentions that are like, Rams, I care about the Rams, man. Yeah, whatever. You're one of three. That's why I notice who you are in my mentions, because you're one of three. So I hate the Rams house guy. I hate the Rams. I hate their fan culture. I hate their fancy stadium. And I cannot believe that they are going to end up using this
It looks like it's only for 2 days because the parade is on Wednesday. So they started yesterday. They got two of the letters up. It looks like it'll be finished today. Lame. And then the parade is tomorrow. And they'll have Rams house in the background of the iconic Hollywood Hills.
Could you imagine you went to Hollywood and you wanted that picture?
Yeah,
and you
that
travel
sucks.
And all of a sudden,
oh my
it's
god,
Rams
I didn't even
house?
Think about that.
You go, oh, it's just Rams house. Oh, that's cool. Also, how do you guys feel about LeBron trying to get a parade for his 2020 title? Now
he's doing the Danny
Green. Oh,
no,
we should all do a parade.
Danny.
We should all do a parade together. Come on, LeBron. Come on. First of all, that title now. Don't even bring it up with people. Just let history turn it into a title eventually, you know? Don't let us actually remember what happened. How you beat the Miami Heat with a bunch of nobodies for a championship and that everything broke your guys' way for you to win that thing in the bubble. And that LeBron was the driving force behind bubble basketball because he knew that this was one of his best chances to win a title. So,
Overcame Goran Dragic.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The third best player on an NBA Finals team.
But LeBron trying to get the joint title, after winning this title years ago is like the most LeBron thing ever. It's so LeBron.
When is Danny Green supposed to get his ring? Has that been moved again?
We gotta line it up so the PM is here to present it to him with a cavalcade of celebrities, of Canadian celebrities. Bieber's be here. They're going to bring in Celine Dion from Vegas. She's going to sing as he walks down the red carpet and gets his ring. Kawhi.
April 7th, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Put that in the calendar.
The same week Kyle's back for the first time.
He's going to move it then.
I wonder what that comparison is going to be like.
Yeah, he'll do the Paul Pierce, Isaiah Thomas thing. Like, I'm not having my night shared with – or my week shared with Danny Green. That's what Kyle Lowry should do. But, yes, we got anything else?
Yes. So this is a feel-good story about the Olympics, and it's going to make you reevaluate if you think that you are a good friend or not. This is the ultimate friend, okay?
Okay.
Erin Jackson, a speed skater for the American team, became the first black woman to win gold medals in an individual event in speed skating at the Winter Games. But the story was that she actually didn't qualify. She fell in the trials. An accident happened. One of the girls on her team gave up her spot to allow for her to go to the Olympics because she knew that she was a better speed skater and she had qualified, said, you know what? You go ahead of me. And then look, she wins the gold medal. I just thought that was a really cool story and just really nice. Like, I don't think I would ever have done that, to be honest.
I don't want to go to Beijing.
But to know that, you know, someone else is probably a better athlete than you and you've probably waited your whole life to represent your team, your country at the Olympics, and you say, hey, you why don't you go ahead of me? That's good friend right there. That's a best friend.
Okay, but if they're winning gold and some accident happens, I wonder, okay, good friend, good move. All right, sorry for being Mr. Pessimism, but you don't think that the speed skating committee, that they sort of got together and went, hey, don't you dare do this or you're like, you better go win gold because she can win gold. And if you don't win gold, you cost us a gold. Like, that's not even something, Ailish, where there's some level of subjectivity, right? Hey, am I the best hockey player? Am I a better hockey player than her? Am I a better hockey player than him? Those are kind of subjective things, mm-hmm. right? Hey, do I bring a different element to a game that might help us win? I don't feel bad about getting cut over this person. Speed skating is one where they would have a million different results to look at, and then she flukes her way in, and the other girl falls and is out on some technicality. You have to do that. You almost have to do that. Like, I don't even know how it would come down to one mistake. That seems ludicrous.
Yeah, she was the top-ranked speed skater, and I guess she fell. And
yeah, you got to send your top-ranked person. You got to send your top-ranked person.
Anyway, beautiful story of friendship.
Nah.
And look, at karma is going to get
that.
About
friendship. If she was a really good friend, she would have said, hey, you know what? I fell. I got to make it to the next one. I actually support you. You're not going to ever make it to an Olympic Games again. This is your only shot at ever going. You have to go because this is a fluke freak incident where you could get this done. That's what a good friend would do. They would sacrifice something that was actually meaningful. This person sacrificed nothing. They sacrificed fluke.
You know what? Let me end this on a great note for you, JD.
Yeah.
Todd and Caledon East. Warning, guys. JD is on point today. Usually JD is right about 99% of things, but my boy is on fire. The Rams suck. Super Bowl's a Sunday event. Preach, JD, preach. You have your own simp
in
Caledon East. That was just a little one for you. It's Sex Line Tuesday, so keep them coming. Hype up JD. Talk about whatever you would like. Give us your Valentine's Day stories, good or bad or hilarious.